What's up?
Hey.
Welcome back to the Blues Library Podcast. I'm Ashley, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Lexi.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about books.
Like always. This week's book is The Risk. It is the second book in the Briar Youth series, which is the same universe as Off Campus by Elle Kennedy, one of my favorite authors. Really quick spoiler and trigger warnings. Sorry, my sock went between my toes and it bugged me for a second. Okay, anyways, spoiler and trigger warnings. We will spoil this book, we will spoil the series at some point potentially because this is a reread for us. So if you haven't finished the whole series, just wait until you have. Trigger warning, there is drugs. And then there is miscarriage, and then also talk of abortion, fighting, and then talk of a close call with death. So if any of that bugs you, go ahead and exit now. You can come back and join us on another episode. I feel like a lot lately, we've had a lot of trigger warnings.
You're correct. That sounded like very phone sex. Yes, daddy.
Oh my god, okay. Okay. Now time for the synopsis.
Okay,
do it in your phone sex voice, the whole synopsis.
Brenna Jensen's dad. I can't. That was tragic.
Okay. I was like, unless we're going to be sitting here laughing the whole time.
My stomach already hurts.
Mine too. Oh god, okay.
For real this time. Brenna Jensen's dad is the hockey coach at Briar, and Jake Connolly is the captain of the hockey team at Harvard. And Harvard and Briar are rivals.
Hello.
So,
sorry.
Hey there.
Hello?
Because I was trying to say it quiet enough that you would like just keep going and ignore me, and that did not happen.
I'm crying!
Me too!
Oh my god,
I'm so big. I better have abs after this!
Seriously! Oh my god!
Oh fuck, okay. We've had a consistent 2 minutes of us laughing.
It's normal, it's normal. Okay.
Okay, now that I know that it's not muted.
Sentence number two.
Oh my god!
This does not foreshadow a good episode. No. Okay.
I'm just still loopy on my meds, so.
Okay.
That's how I'm feeling.
Brenna applies for an internship at HockeyNet, which is a hockey network based in Boston an hour away, which is kind of where Harvard is, even though it's like in Cambridge, I think, but whatever. One night, Brenna is visiting her cousin in Boston, and her cousin keeps ditching her, so she goes to the bar alone, and some weirdo, like legit weirdo, is hitting on her, and Jake saves her by giving her a little baby kiss and pretending to be her boyfriend.
Okay, but he was a complete weirdo until the end, and then I felt kind of bad for him.
Yeah.
When he was, like, talking to Jake and Brenna. I was like, aw, he's just nice. He just wants love.
My favorite was just the little baby kiss. And, like... Anyway. After continuously running into Jake in Hastings and in Boston, Jake is in Hastings because his friend Hazel lives there and goes to school at Briar.
I'm convinced he was just talking and Hazel was completely made up.
I fucking wish Hazel was made up. I said messed up. Mitch is already messed up. Okay. So, where was I? Okay. She keeps running into Jake. So, at one point in her interview at HockeyNet, Brenna tells the interviewer that her and Jake are boyfriend and girlfriend. So, he invites Brenna and Jake to a dinner at his house. Jake decides to go along with this, but only after they strike a deal that for every fake date that they go on, he wants a real one. So, at the dinner, the interviewer is a total douche and super fucking sexist, and I wanted to gouge this guy's eyes out. Yeah. But one of Jake's future teammates, he's a player for the Oilers, is there. I think that's in Ontario. I know for sure it's in Canada. That's all I know.
All I remember is anytime they talked about the Oilers, Edmonton came up.
Yep, okay. It's in Edmonton, Canada, wherever the hell that is. I don't know Canada, okay?
No.
Anyway, you know, for liking hockey books, we really should know more about Canada.
All right, we'll have just a full crash course, all things Canadian, when I come visit.
Okay, if you are Canadian, please send us information about Canada.
You guys just get together, create a PowerPoint, and we will go through it all, and then we will have a specific podcast going over everything we just learned.
Yes, we will love you forever.
Yes.
Okay. God, we are taking forever. So, at the dinner, okay, so one of Jake's future teammates is there. He plays for the Oilers. Jake has been drafted by the Oilers, so he's going there after he graduates this year. So, because Jake wants to make, a good impression on his future teammate, Jake kind of goes along with everything that's going on. After the dinner, Brenna is super fucking mad at Jake, as she should be. I was mad at Jake, too. But they end up kissing, and
Jake did make a good point, though. She went there with intentions for her own career, and then when his came up, he adapted. Yes, he should have involved her more, but at the same time.
Yeah.
So I see both sides of it. He had to adapt, and this was his future teammate.
Yeah.
And let's be completely honest, it all worked out in the end for Brenna. She did not need to be at HockeyNet.
Very true. Okay. They end up kissing. Jake takes Brenna home after they plan a real date the next day. Also, at some point in here, Brenna's apartment floods, so she has to move back in with her dad while they sort out the whole flooding issue. So she's living with her dad.
Super awkward, because there's lots of tension there.
Very much tension.
And there's no siblings or anything to, break that tension. It's just the two of them.
Exactly. Jake and Brenna go bowling the next day. It's really, really cute. They have mad sexual tension. All of the fucking things we love. After all this really mad sexual tension date, they end up in the back seat of his car, and he ends up getting her off, but then her phone starts to ring when she tries to return the favor, and the mood is done, so they end the date.
But can we just talk about how much, I fucking loved Jake in this moment really quickly? Because his response was, she doesn't owe me anything.
I totally agree. Fucking agree.
I was yes. Yes, Jake.
I love that. Ugh.
The fact that he didn't expect her to finish getting him off when all of that, yeah, I was just like, you are a king.
Exactly. So they end the date after the mood is gone, but not before Jake gets Brenna to agree to go on another real date, because she actually wants to go on a real date. One night when Brenna is out in Hastings, one of the hockey guys' cars ends up having whipped cream all over it with the note that says, can't wait to cream you in the finals.
So cringy.
I know. Especially because, that's not how I think of cream ever. So I'm like, ugh. Okay. So this was a prank from two of the Harvard guys. Jake has no idea what happened. So when Brenna, texts him about it, he goes to deal with it and do some damage control. While he is in Hastings, he goes to Brenna's dad's house, and it's really funny. There's this really funny, rock throwing scene. he climbs up into her room, and things get a little bit frisky. There's some 69 action, and her dad ends up knocking and interrupting.
My favorite part was when she's giving him a blowjob, and he's all like, wait, flip around so that I can lick you. And she's like, that's a good idea.
I highlighted that section, bro. I love it. So Jake has to leave after they're caught, and Brenna and her dad have this really intense conversation about how she keeps making the same mistakes. Jake tells Hazel about Brenna. Hazel tells Jake that it was this is her plan, is to psych him out before the big game, whatever. Jake doesn't believe Brenna, or doesn't believe that Brenna would do that.
I was like, wait, bitch.
I know, I was like, wait. So Hazel confronts Brenna and is all like smug bitch about how well she knows Jake and that they've been friends forever. And I just want to cut this bitch.
We both wanted to cut her. We both pretty much didn't like her from the start.
So Brenna ends up getting a call back from HockeyNet to come into the office. And when she gets there, she gets the news that she didn't actually get the fucking job that she just drove an hour to hear about. But he ends up offering like dinner, like a game or something. That her and Jake can go to.
One of the Bruins games.
Oh, yeah. And Brenna's like, man, fuck you, and leaves. But while she's leaving, she meets Georgia Barnes, and she's a female sports reporter. She's fucking smart as hell. And Brenna loves her. Totally fangirls. It's super cute. Yeah, that's that. Brenna then meets up with Jake, and they make out at the hockey stadium, but his coach walks in, which is super awkward.
We do need to actually mention, though, so Brenna's dad and Jake's coach, they played together, and they absolutely despise each other. We learn later on, because we didn't put it in the synopsis, that Jake's coach, Coach Peterson, tried to get with Brenna's mom in college. She didn't want him. She wanted Brenna's dad, and Coach Peterson is still very salty about it because he's a little bitch.
Mm-hmm. So it's storming at this point. She ends up going back to Jake's house to wait out the storm. While they're there, Eric, her ex-boyfriend, keeps calling her. She answers. He's methed out. How do you say that? Ask your dad. He's high on meth. Doesn't know where he is. He's freaking out.
I'm going to text him right now.
Thank you. So she says that she'll go help him. And Jake and his roommate, Brooks Weston, which we had to look up because we didn't know if it was Brooks Weston or Weston Brooks. Anyway, they go along with to help Brenna find him and take him home. Because of the storm, Brenna ends up staying the night at Jake's, and they end up fucking. It's real hot. When she gets back to her dad's house, her dad kind of gets onto her for being irresponsible by helping Eric and staying out all night. So the hockey finals are Harvard versus Breyer. Shit gets intense because Hunter slept with the girlfriend of a Harvard player. The Harvard player found out, ends up breaking Hunter's wrist. The Breyer captain and Hunter and the guy on Harvard.
Hunter is Breyer's captain.
No, he's not. He wants to be captain.
No, Hunter is his Breyer's captain. Yes, but yes, because in the thing, he's a freshman. No, he's not. Not in this one. Because
he's a sophomore. You're right.
Because when Brenna tries to go back to the whatever room, you know, what I'm talking about, and because Summer was like, oh, what's wrong? Blah, blah, blah. And then Brenna's like, I'm the only chance we have to find out. Coach goes, you're the captain. You're not supposed to be doing this shit.
To the guy that punched him.
No.
Look at it, bitch.
Listen. Because
I'm pulling up receipts.
Hunter is the captain. Because after Garrett was the captain, it was then Hunter. Hunter worked his ass off in off campus to be the captain.
Yeah, in the next book?
No, the next book is Hunter's book while he's already the captain. And he said, I'm the captain. I'm not supposed to be doing this. And by the way, the term is tweaking or tweaked. Because in Hunter's book, he's already the captain. And he said, I fucked up and let my team down last year or whatever because I was sleeping around. So this year because he's still captain, he's not going to do that. He let his team down because him as the captain was sleeping around with a bunch of chicks. God, I said what my dad had responded to my text with so much anger.
I know. I'm finding this because he's not the captain. Look, Nate Rhodes, my rival captain, skates over.
Dude, I swear to God, he was already supposed to be the captain. That's what I remember with everything.
Well, you remember wrong.
Either way, my
formal apology.
Okay, bitch, you've been getting shit wrong this entire synopsis.
Shut up, okay?
When he wants to pump out his daughter.
Shut up! Okay, we're moving on. Okay.
Keep fucking with me, bitch.
The Briar captain and Hunter and the Harvard player end up getting ejected. Briar ends up losing the game, and after the game, Coach Peterson starts talking shit to Brenna's dad about how he was willing to pimp out his daughter to screw with Harvard's team, effectively outing Brenna and Jake from seeing each other, or for seeing each other. Shut up. When Brenna gets home, her dad and her have a huge falling out. He basically kicks her out, so she goes to stay with Jake. She spends a few days there. He cleared out a drawer for her. It was really cute.
Because he didn't know how long she was going to be there. And then, like, he was so awkward and unsure about it.
So it was so funny. Brenna ends up opening up to her about how... Brenna ends up opening up...
Shut up! Stop laughing! No, this is what... We're having Brenna issues ends up... today.
Brenna ends up opening up to him about how she accidentally got pregnant when she was 16 and almost hemorrhaged. Almost hemorrhaged to death before she could get an abortion. Her dad found her passed out in a pool of her own blood in the bathroom.
Wait, but I feel like we also missed a very important piece of this. The reason why she ended up almost hemorrhaging to death is because her piece of shit boyfriend at the time, who was the baby daddy, decided partying with his friends was more important when Brenna was freaked out because she started spotting. And then he wouldn't let her tell her dad.
Did you read the next sentence?
No, but I just had to say that because, like, I didn't... I was just... I'm really mad, okay?
Okay. So, because of this whole situation, Brenna feels like her dad hates her, and she doesn't have any luck with getting him to have an intense conversation about everything. So, Jake is really super sweet and understanding about this whole thing and offers to let Brenna borrow his lucky bracelet so that she can have a good conversation with her dad. The next morning, Jake and Brenna smash... Sans condom, but she saw birth control and they agree for him to pull out. They're both clean, blah, blah, blah. Jake ends up being late to
ironic
practice.
Ironic after the situation she's already been in.
I know, right? Jake ends up being late for practice for the third time in his whole life because he was smashing Brenna. He then goes to meet Hazel for lunch after practice, and Hazel psychs him out about being in a relationship and all the work that it'll take and long distance and all of this, and I fucking hate this bitch. So he ends up going home and breaking it off with Brenna. Brenna's super depressed, doesn't want to show it, ends up going back to her apartment the next day. She left Jake's, spent the night at the hockey house, and then went to her apartment.
Thank God she went to her friend's instead of her dad's house, honestly, at that point. Like, yes, they needed to talk, but still.
So Brenna's also able to clear things up with her dad, and I hella cried during this part.
It was sad.
Yeah, they find out that he doesn't hate her. He's just, like, every time he sees her, it reminds him of his wife, and he had to identify his wife's body. And, like, Brenna looks exactly like his wife, and so he had, like, a hard time.
When he walked in, he honestly thought she was already dead, so he was, like, checking her pulse and everything, and she was pretty damn close to death.
Yeah.
Which, again, what we were saying in a lot of the books we were reading lately, communi-fucking-cation. Oh, that's what I was saying about Bridgerton.
Yes. Okay. We'll get there. So the next game that Harvard plays is against someone in the Frozen Four, I think.
It's the game to see who
we
goes.
Talked about this. They get the auto bid.
No, but this is the one to see, like, because here's the thing, because then it's no,
the one that no, they play.
Listen, no, because I no, listen, because
and then
I,
the next one is the listen. Finals of the Frozen Four.
Okay, whatever. We had this conversation, and then I explained to you everything, and you're like, oh, yeah, you're fucking right. Fucking continue.
The day of the game, Brenna realizes she never gave Jake his lucky bracelet back, so her and her dad rush to the stadium because Jake isn't answering his phone. When they get there, Hazel is there, and Brenna isn't sure that Jake will want to see her, so she gives a bracelet to Hazel, and Hazel promises that she'll give it to him. Oh, I hate her. When Jake shows up, he sees his parents and Hazel at the game. They chat for a minute. Hazel wishes him good luck before she leaves. Yes, she has the bracelet this entire time. Jake is getting ready for the game when Hollis and Fitzy come in and they're mad at him for hurting Brenna. Jake agrees that he will talk to her after the game. And when he goes to put his bracelet on, he remembers he gave it to Brenna and starts freaking out a little when Hazel interrupts and gives it to him. Hazel then confesses that she's liked him all along and she wants him to be happy now. And honestly, I fucking hate this bitch. Hazel allows Jake to use her phone to call Brenna because he wants to talk to her and he left his phone at home. He's been sucking since their breakup at hockey, and while they talk, they end up getting back together. It's really cute. It all ends happy because Harvard wins, and everyone is super happy together. Georgia calls Brenna and explains that she left HockeyNet and is going to start at ESPN and wants her as her assistant, and Jake's parents love her. Hazel even tries to get to know her, and Harvard wins the Frozen Four. The end.
Okay, you skipped a very important part of that where when...
Bitch, you helped me write this!
Listen, when Hazel, you're okay, but you're the one that wants to continue ranting about Hazel. Anyways, when Hazel goes to give Jake the bracelet and admit that she likes him, she admits to the fact that she was going to keep the bracelet because she wanted him to not go back to Brenna. And Ashley conveniently left that part out. That is why I kind of tolerated Hazel. I didn't really like her, but at that moment I was like, bitch, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Dude, my book is highlighted with, like, red flag, red flag, red flag. I'm like, I hate this bitch. Okay. Lexi, tell us what you did with your makeup today.
Well, for those of you who don't know, which is going to be everybody, I've had a 7-month ear infection. I had meds. Half of my face was swollen the other day. My eye is still swollen, so I only did one eye. And it looks... Okay, it actually looked pretty good at the end, but I only did one eye because, one, I am extremely tired because my body hates me right now, and one eye is swollen, so I wasn't going to show pictures of that. So I have pink and purple. Half of my eye is just straight purple, even lined the lower half of my eye with purple, and then the other half is, like, the inner corner is pink. It actually kind of, like, I was not quite sure about it, and then I lined the bottom of it, and I was like, oh, wait, that's actually really cute.
It looks really fucking cute.
Thank you. And then I skipped my eyebrows today because, again, 7-month ear infection was not going to happen.
For my makeup, my first eye, my left eye, I did with, like, pink and purple bubbles to kind of look like beads on a bracelet. Kind of all along the lid, like, eyeliner.
It looks so fucking cute.
Thank you. I tried really hard on it. It's to kind of talk about the bracelet, basically reference the bracelet. My other eye, I decided to go Brenna on it, and I did really dark eye makeup, really thick fucking wing, for eyeliner. And then I had my cute boyfriend, who finally agreed this time, put on some lipstick and kiss my face. And he has really fat lips, okay? So it looks like a fucking brat doll kissed my face, but it works.
It looks so good. I also totally forgot to add that my pink and purple was for the bracelet, but you did that for me, so thank you. But yeah, no, your looks, I loved, because when you said pink and purple, I thought you were going to do something similar to mine, but then I should have known because it's you and you're not sick, so you were going to definitely go all out. And then I was confused, like, when you were saying you were going to have Jacob kiss your eye. Like, I thought you were going to have him just put it over your eye, like, yeah. Have the lips go around. I was like, that's kind of weird, but okay. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, wait. When I saw the finished look, I was like, wait, that's actually pretty dope.
Thanks, I tried.
All right. No, I'm going to ask this first so that you can get your ranting out of the way. And then it'll come back in a little bit.
Oh, yes.
So, Ashley, what are your thoughts on Hazel?
Let me stretch out and get the full
Just tell
volume.
Everybody what your name in this recording session is.
The name in my recording session is called Fuck Hazel. I was so mad. Okay. The whole book, I was livid. Because it's like, oh, she looked a little bit disappointed. And all of this bullshit. I was so mad, and she's being all smug, because she's like, I know Jake better than you. Man, fuck you, bitch. Nobody wants you here, Okay.
Which is funny considering that when it really got down to it, Brenna knew Jake better.
Exactly.
Because Hazel was just a selfish bitch.
Exactly. I was pissed. And, like, I was really mad, too, because her name was Hazel. And there's a Hazel in another, in another book that I read. And I love that Hazel. And I was like, look at you, ruining this fucking name for me. Fuck you, Hazel. Thank you. Good night.
Oh, I was going to say, let's talk about the text you sent me. But then I was like, I don't know if you want everybody to know what your boyfriend's name is.
My boyfriend's name is Jacob.
And so she had texted me. She goes, I fucking hate Hazel. And I was like, what? Who? And she goes, Jake's friend. And I was like, or Jake's best friend. And I was like, uh-oh, what happened? And then she texts me, she goes, oh, me just realizing that my boyfriend's name is, or that's my boyfriend's name. I was like, yeah, I was real concerned for a minute because I totally forgot all about Hazel.
Yes. And like, and then I told you about the story of me accidentally forgetting my boyfriend's name one time.
Oh my God, I fucking love that story.
I'm really forgetful, okay? Don't judge me. I know it now.
We hope. For all I know, you lied to me and it has, that wasn't the time frame of when you actually, this happened. What if it happened when you told me that you told him?
So my boyfriend and I have been dating for almost 5 years, guys. So this happened 6 or 8 months into dating. And I had to, go on my Instagram and, look at who I tagged to, remember his name. And I just told him about it, 3 days ago.
Okay, but the fact that long after dating you forgot concerns me just slightly. But we'll move on. My thoughts on Hazel are the same as Ashley's name in this thing. Fuck Hazel. At first, I was kind of whatever. But then the more and more that she was involved, I was like, God, I'm so fucking over this bitch. Can we just get rid of her, please? And then, you know what? No, that's actually going to be an answer to a question later on. So let's continue with the questions.
What did you think about Jake and Brenna's arrangement for the fake date for a real one situation?
Real one. Okay, so the first time I read this, I was like, oh, this motherfucker's just going to ask for her to pleasure him or something, you know, because he talks about how he wants to sleep with her and shit. I was like, he's gonna ask for something douchey like that. So then when he said a fake date for a real date, I was like, that was my response. And I just was so giddy. I was so happy. Oh my God. Oh, my heart. I thought it was the most fucking adorable thing ever.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Did you read the synopsis on the back
of this book?
Yep.
No.
Yeah, I figured, because it's literally in the damn synopsis.
Here's the thing, is if I start reading a series, and so far I like this series, I don't really read the synopsis, because it gives you the information on what the book's about, and I want to be surprised. So, in this case, I read the blurb on the back for the deal, and then for the rest of Off Campus and Briar U, I didn't read a single thing about any of them.
Okay. So, I had no thoughts on it. It was what it was, because I read the back of the book and I knew it was going to happen.
It's kind of fun going into books completely blind.
I would agree with you.
That's how I ended up. I don't know what the fuck this book's about. All I know is it's written by Elle Kennedy, and I love Elle Kennedy, so I bought the fucking book. I didn't know what Hook, Line, and Sinker was about. Bought the book. I didn't know what freaking ACOTAR was about, and I bought the entire series before I even read the first book. So, that's how I am as a reader, people, in case you didn't know. If somebody's just like, oh my God, this book is so good, on Book Talk or whatever, you need to read it, but they don't say anything about it, I'll be like, cool, I'm going to go buy it now.
Dude, I'm the total opposite. Because I'm so deep in Book Talk, okay? So I'll get they'll be like, oh, this book was so good. And then they'll start talking and be like, it was friends to lovers. And I'm like, fuck you. Next. But there's this one girl, Maya Reads Spice. Oh my God. She's so good. She titles her videos and she goes, books with this in them. And one of them is squirting, blood play, pussy slapping, shit like that. And so I'm okay, she's probably got what I'm looking for.
See, but and this is why, like, the Instagram is so hard for me, because I'm just not the person that'll go and sit there and read unless I'm, like, specifically on my, like, by myself looking through my Amazon list and, like, what books are about or, like, the books that are recommended to me. I won't read anything about them. If somebody's recommended it to me, I'll be like, sure, they know what they probably know what I like enough.
Oh, no, I read the back of every book ever.
I can't.
When I go to the bookstore, I like read the, I'm like, oh, this book looks cute. Judging a book by its cover, come at me. I pull it out and then I read the back and I'm like, yeah, that's not cool. Or like, I'm not into that right now. Like,
I'll look at the cover and the name, and if the name and the cover look interesting, sure. Add to cart, purchase. So there's that. All right. What were your thoughts on Mulder, who is the dude that she interviewed with from HockeyNet? Same. She put a thumbs down for those of you who can't see, which is everybody, because this isn't a video.
First of all, this sexist piece of shit needs his wife to leave him, okay? And then take all of his things and all of his money and just, like, grind this little piece of shit into the ground. Like,
okay, but you know he probably had a prenup, meaning that she's not going to get anything. Because he thinks all women are stupid.
He's probably cheating on her because she thinks, she, or he thinks she's stupid.
Probably.
Like, fuck you, bitch. He was so fucking sexist and, like, it drove me up a fucking wall.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Basically the same thing that you just said. I, because I've already read this one, this reread, I had to go through and actually, like, skim through his parts because I was, like, I read the first interview. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember I fucking hated this dude and I can't handle this right now. I have a lot of pent-up anger right now. I'm just in a lot of pain, so it was going to be bad.
Okay, how did you feel about Brenna and her dad's relationship?
It was sad. Like, it made me sad to read, and it was, like, especially because there were certain times where it looked like he was trying to be a part of her life and he just maybe didn't know the right way to go about it, but it still looked like he was trying. And then Brenna, I think because she felt like he hated her because she made a mistake, she wasn't really wanting to try. And so I think just because of, like, with the miscommunication, it was just sad. It made me real sad. I didn't like it. How did you feel?
Y'all already know by now. My dad passed away about 5 months ago. Okay. This really, like, it made me cry. Like I said, like, before. And I'm probably gonna cry right now talking about it. But it hit me, like, really hard that, like, her dad isn't upset or disappointed or anything. He's just, like, not sure how to get out of his head about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is gonna sound really sad, but she's able to, like, talk to her dad because her dad is still there. Yeah. So, like, it's really hard for me to, like, read stories about that have, like, these really cute dad moments because I don't get to have any more cute dad moments. But, oh my god. Okay, take over. I'm gonna cry.
It's okay. My dad will take over as your dad. He already sees all of you guys as his daughters. Anyways. So, yeah, it was sad. And, you know, if you have your dad here, you're lucky. And if you don't, you know, that sucks. But, you know, we all need to try and have good relationships with the people still in our lives. Anyways, moving on so that I don't have to see my best friend cry anymore because it's going to make me cry and it's breaking my heart. Did you agree with Brenna not blocking Eric, like, with when she was talking with Tansy about it, and then also going to help him when he called and he was all tweaked out because we found out the right term?
I kind of had mixed feelings about this part, because I'm a big believer of if somebody is toxic and no longer serving you, get rid of them, because you don't need that negativity in your life. But I thought it spoke a lot to Brenna's character that she is willing to do this for a guy that was pretty much shit to her, like, through this whole situation. And, like, how much guilt she kind of holds within herself. And also, it's kind of projected onto her dad, her guilt for the situation, because her dad is not the one disappointed and angry at her and hates her for what happened. She's the one that is disappointed in herself and hates herself for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it, like, the emotions in this fucking book. Like, I was like, this poor girl.
It's like what she told Jake. She didn't have a horrible childhood, but it's not that she didn't have dark and twisted things happen.
Yeah. What about you?
I have very strong feelings with this, but I want to preface this by saying that I've been in a very toxic, abusive relationship. And for my particular situation, they were able to still manipulate me afterwards because they knew I'd feel guilty when they needed help. So I was very upset with the fact that she didn't block him. I was also very upset with the fact that he expected her to come get him and that she actually did drop everything to go get him.
Money.
Well, she only did that one once and she realized that this was going to be a habit. So I was actually happy that that was the situation. I've done that once where I sent money and then realized it was going to become a habit and I stopped that shit. So I've been in that particular situation. But this one, like, it really upset me because I was like, I've been there. I've done that. And so it was really hard for me to just watch her keep doing that. And then when Jake finally was like talking to her about it, and she's like, but he needs me. I owe him this because this was my fault or whatever. And he goes, no, he did this to himself. I think that was also really important. But yeah, it really pissed me off when she didn't block him and that she dropped everything to go help. I understand, you know, don't get me wrong. I am very much somebody where if I don't talk to you anymore and we're not friends anymore, but you called me and you absolutely needed me, depending upon the situation, I would go. But I've also been through a lot of therapy to get over my people pleasing ways and my I have to make sure everybody else is okay over myself. So you may not agree with me and that's fine, but that's how I feel based off of my own personal experiences.
Yeah, you bring up some really good points, so much appreciated. Did you feel Brenna's dad overreacted when he kicked her out?
Yes, but to be fair, I also think emotions were high in that moment on both sides. I think he, like with what he admitted when he was talking with Brenna, he didn't know really how to get out of his own head, as Ashley put it. And I think it was more so he was concerned that she really was going to end up in a situation with Eric and he didn't want to have to be there to witness it. But I also don't think he fully meant meant for it to be as it was, and it was unfortunate that, you know, that's how it kind of escalated. But
yeah, I would agree with you there. I feel like it was definitely an overreaction on his part, but I also think that the minute she left he regretted it.
Yeah, you could kind of, if I remember correctly, I feel like there was a part where when she looked at him and she was like, you don't mean that. And he kind of hesitated a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think neither one of them really knew how to, I think, interact with each other. And that played a big role in a lot of the issues.
Yes. And then when they're able to finally interact well together, it just makes it like so much sweeter, basically.
Mm-hmm. Did you think it was fair for the Briar boys to be as pissed off and ignore Brenna the way they did?
I'm an athlete, okay? So I totally get this, okay? I was like, I can totally see this. Like, obviously it had nothing to do with, like, anything, so they got over it. But, like, I could see, like, the initial anger and, like, that shit. But I did not like, and I did not think that it was fair that that's where they left it and they didn't reach out and say, hey, I'm sorry, like,
mm-hmm.
We're cool. Whatever, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was fair. I think their emotions were valid at the moment, but the fact that they allowed their emotions to become their actions was not okay.
I can see what you're saying, but I also, and don't get me, like, just so that everybody's clear, Ashley has played sports all her life. I played sports when I was very young when we lived in Salt Lake. Like, I played lacrosse. I've done color guard, so I mean, that is kind of, that is technically a sport, quote unquote sport. I did some dance, but I was never as like intense and into it as Ashley ever was. So this is a completely different perspective. But it bugged me that it wasn't like she had truly done anything to actually betray them or to like tell Harvard all of Briar's secret weapons and like whatever, you know, all these secret things that they can do or the talents or the special things. She didn't do anything like yes, she wanted Jake to do well. She only wanted Jake to do well because that's her boyfriend. And she was still there to cheer on Briar. And so it kind of irritated me a little bit that like they almost treated it like she went and just spilled all these secrets to Jake just for the sake of Harvard winning. So that kind of upset me. But at the same time, I also kind of understood because I was like, yeah, I could see where that's a betrayal, especially because it's the coach's daughter.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about Hazel after she purposefully freaked Jake out about the long distance and the relationships in general and shit? Because let's be completely honest, that was 100 million percent. I'm sick, don't bug me about my numbers. That was 100% her goal. We all know it was.
Oh yes.
It was never addressed, but that was 100% exactly what she was looking for.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Okay, how do I feel about Hazel? We already know. I fucking hate her. I would like to gut her and use her guts, braid them all together, make myself a scarf, and then like, oh yeah, this is the bitch that fucked with my mans. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was mad. And she's fake. She's not even real.
Beautiful picture you just put in all of our heads.
I'm sorry. It is what it is.
So as I mentioned earlier, the first time I read this through, I kind of just tolerated Hazel up until I think I started getting a little bit irritated with her at the interaction between or that she ended up initiating with her and Brenna at the coffee shop. And then this one, she was being very, because this was on their way. Wasn't this on their way back from like a meal with her, with his parents or something?
It was the day after Brenna had spilled all of the shit about what happened. Oh, he went right to lunch with her. And that's what Hazel said. And so he went back and broke up with her. And Brenna was oh, it's because all of this is too much.
That's right. Okay. So, but I remember there was a specific part of before this where Hazel went with Jake to his parents' house to have lunch or something. And she was just like almost like forcefully being all girlfriendy and stuff. And it kind of bugged me. And then this one, I was just like, why? If you really like care about him and he is your best friend, why are you trying to ruin like a good thing? He's extremely happy. So that like really pissed me off because I was like, I didn't even necessarily care on like behalf of Brenna. My thing was on behalf of Jake because this is supposed to be Jake's best friend.
I totally agree.
His childhood best friend.
She's so shitty to him. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on the Hazel incident when it comes to the good luck charm?
She was forgiven way too easily.
1000%. He was like, hold on, I'm about to get some receipts on this bit.
Yeah, I was, so the first, so I, this reread, I couldn't remember the exact incidences with Hazel. And then when I got to this part, I was like, oh, that's right. And so when I was rereading this, I forgot that he forgave her so easily. And I was just like, Jake, like, but at the same time, this also shows how Jake is. He wants to see the best in the people he cares about. He doesn't want to, you know, like, and he does care about her. So he's like, okay. But then I also liked how he made a point of being like, no, if you actually care about me, then you will get to know her.
Yes, I loved that.
So that did make me happy, but I was really pissed off with how it literally, like, he didn't even get mad at her about it. He was just like, okay, well, you're forgiven. And I was like, no. No, oh no, God. No, no, no.
Here's the direct quote, ready? I suppose I could take the easy way out and blame Hazel for my actions. Easy way out, motherfucker. She's to blame.
He never, but here's the thing. I think, wasn't that part him talking about, like, or in regards to like her feelings for him and shit, because I was like, one, you didn't do anything wrong. You never let her on. You never made her believe that you were going to be with her. And then second or third, you didn't do a goddamn fucking thing wrong. You did everything right. Okay, anyways, continue with your quote. I'm sorry.
No, I was fucking pissed. Like, he was like, I could blame Hazel for the breakup between me and Brenna, but you know what?
Oh, that's what he was referring to? Yeah, no, yes. That was 100% her fault. To be fair, I mean, yes, Jake... Okay, and this is the hard part, because it's like, yes, Jake is the one that broke up with her, but he's never had a relationship before.
Exactly.
So he didn't understand... He doesn't know how longer distance relationships work or how certain things happen. And so, like, Hazel was kind of making it out to sound like, oh, you never get to see them. No, I mean, depending upon certain situations, because my long distance relationship, he was gone on deployment, so I didn't get to go visit him. But in a lot of cases, you get to visit. You get to do all these things. There's FaceTime. There's video chat. Like, there's all this other fucking shit. Ugh! Okay, sorry. Continue with what you were going to say.
No, I was just so mad because I totally feel like he forgave her for like within the blink of an eye. Like, he was like, oh, well, she was just looking out for me and didn't want me to be distracted. Like, bitch, no, that's not at all what happened.
Yep.
She found an out and she took it.
Mm-hmm.
Overall thoughts on the book, Lexi?
I mean, I love Jake, so I loved it. I love Brenna too. I just loved it. It was good. I felt like it talked about some really like issues that actually do go on and things that can happen. Some of the things were really hard, and I apologize for I didn't think far enough ahead about that question I put in there. I didn't mean to make you cry. I love you. But I really liked this book, all of it.
Well, I agree.
I mean, I would have been just happy if Hazel wasn't in it, but
the tension, bro, it's got to be there.
Yeah, but did we have to have Hazel be that shitty?
I know. Okay. Are you ready? I have now all we're of trying my to like hilarious quotes.
Yeah, but I love how we're going, like how first it was like, let's just bag on Hazel, and then it's like, did she have to be that shitty?
Exactly. First, my favorite one is when they're at the diner and it's raining outside and the waitress is like, the roads get wet when it's raining.
My favorite though is when they go to leave and they're mocking her. I heard the roads get wet when it's rainy.
I love it. We didn't touch on this. The whole Hollis and Ruby situation.
Just all of it.
The whole thing was fucking pure gold.
I fucking love Hollis and Ruby so much.
They're so funny.
They were so perfect together.
It was, oh my God. And they just compliment each other. They're like the same brand of crazy.
Yes.
No, they're like opposite brands of crazy. But it works.
If you had two of the same kinds of crazy, that'd just be too much. But because it's two different kinds, they like, where one's very crazy, the other one kind of almost calms the situation out a little bit.
Yes.
Oh my God. Just Hollis and Ruby. Yes.
Okay.
I want a Hollis and Ruby book.
Yes. The bubble butt.
Oh my God, I totally forgot about that. The fact that my favorite part is when they pull up the porn and the coach walks in as Brooks has his pants down and he's bent over.
No, and the best, it's he's like, it's not what it looks like. And the coach is like, it looks like you're trying to compare your ass to the dude on the screen. And it looks the same. So pull your hands up and sit back down.
Or when Brenna's over, staying over at their place, and he's like, he just pulls his pants down to show her. And she's like, it's a very nice butt. And then he like just looks like a little kid on Christmas morning. And then when he goes to the bathroom and he comes out and Brenna had made some joke about a threesome and he's just so, yes.
Brooks, he's like, we're having a threesome, God. Let's go.
Brooks is awesome. He's so funny.
Oh my God. The whole, like, my father was standing outside the door while we were 69ing. Will forever be hilarious.
I would be so uncomfortable to ever have sex again. I'd be like, what if my dad has a key to my house and he just, like, comes in the house?
Oh, my God. The funniest one of all of them, okay? Obviously, you watch Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. During the game, okay, it cuts to Brenna And, like, she's with all the girlfriends and whatever.
Yeah.
And Summer goes, this is a disaster. And, like, the whole, I read it and I was like, this is a disaster. And I was like, es Juan Julio Ricardo de la Rosa Montoya. Something like that. Montoya de la Rosa Ramirez. I was like, this guy.
I want to say one thing that I loved is when Hollis and Fitzy come into the locker room. as Hollis says, for both of them to kick Jake's butt, or ass, as he says. And then Fitzy goes, no, don't we this shit. I just drove you.
I love it.
I love how Fitzy doesn't want to be involved in drama. And that was my favorite part, is when she was talking about, like, all the guys that, like, were so mad at her. And then she's like, I mean, Fitzy doesn't really care because he's Summer's girlfriend. And he's not really one for drama.
Like, I know, and then he's in the middle of this shit. I love it.
Okay. Doesn't want to be, but he is, because he loves his friends.
Love. Okay. Any other comments?
No, I don't think so.
Lexi, what did you read/watch this week?
Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, 7-month ear infection. I didn't really have the, I don't know how to write. Okay, my brain wasn't working enough to be able to focus on books because that takes a lot of energy, but I could watch something because at the end of the day, I can either rewatch it or, you know, it's so easy to understand because you're seeing it. You're not reading it. So I ended up watching, so I read The Risk, first of all, but that was yesterday. Then I did end up, before this whole issue, I read a couple more chapters of Addicted for Now by Krista and Becca Ritchie. I finished Badly Behaved by Megan Brandy. Loved, well, so far, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't be continuing to read Addicted for Now. Loved Badly Behaved, actually. That one was really good, and I absolutely recommend it for everybody. Again, with my issues going on, I don't fucking remember what it's about, but I remember absolutely loving it. So then I watched Bridgerton. Ashley has been bugging me about watching it for a while, and I'm actually kind of glad she did, because I didn't want to jump on the bandwagon of, like, oh my god, Bridgerton. I did it. Don't regret it. I watched half of Into the Woods yesterday, then got bored, so I turned on Tangled. I also watched the live-action Beauty and the Beast with my mom and my sister. I watched an episode of The Mentalist, and then I also watched lots of TikTok. That was my week. That was my week this week, but you know what? I could hardly think. So this week, I am going to finish Addicted for Now by Krista and Becca Ritchie, and I hope to at least start the next one, which is the first book in the Calloway Sisters series. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm going to read Hideaway by Penelope Douglas, which is book 2 in the Devil Knight series. I'm going to read Let Me Burn by Carrie Elks. This is one of the books I have no idea what the fuck it's about, but somebody said it was good, so I'm gonna read it. Then King of Corium by J.L. Beck and C. Hallman. This one was a TikTok where it was like, oh, convincing you to read this book based off of the aesthetics. And I was like, that actually sounds, or that looks really dope. So it's on my list. Again, don't know what the fuck it's about. and then I'm going to read book 1 of the, what was the series called, Ashley?
Hawks MC.
Hawks MC?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to read book 1 of that series called Finding Out by Lila Rose. So
it's
that's
a novella,
my week.
So it's pretty short, but it's and really good.
And then also, because we're going to make this announcement at the end of the episode, I will also be reading the book we're going to be going over next week.
Books I finished this week. I went ham on the Hawks MC Caroline Springs charter. So I read Hiding Out, Down and Out, Living Without, Walk Out. Read all of those. Hold on. Let me see if I can remember right. So Hiding Out is Dodge's book. Down and Out is Dive's book. Living Without is Vicious's book. Walk Out is Dallas's book.
Vicious, that actually sounds really dope. Cool.
Yeah, it's really good. Then I read Meet Me Halfway by Lillian T. James. This one I got from TikTok. I saw a TikTok and I was like, that looks good. And I just immediately went to read it. And then I just finished The Perfect Gift by Jessa Kane. If you don't know,
literally
Jessa
Kane, like 5 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah. If you didn't know, Jessa Kane literally just writes like sexy books and they're like short as shit. This one is 53 pages. Oh, nice. And it was, I liked it. I did not like the first and only sex scene in this book. Because he fucks her in front of her sisters, and that's just weird. So, I speak because I have sisters. So, currently reading House of Sky and Breath. I've read exactly one more chapter since last week.
Hey, you're one more chapter ahead than you were, though. So, exactly. That's saying something. I'm nowhere farther ahead than... I'm no more ahead than I have... You know what I'm saying? I can't fucking talk.
Next, I'm also reading Micah by Maria Lisa de Mora. I don't know how you say that name.
Anyway, I feel like you did it pretty good.
I read the synopsis, because I'm a synopsis person, and it was giving, like, Polly, and then now
this is the book.
So, like, I'm like, I don't think this turns into Polly, and I'm a little bit upset about it. Because, like, it's got the three rotating points of view, right? So I'm like, okay, this is definitely Polly. No, because it's definitely turning more into, like, she needs a friend, and I'm gonna be her friend. And I'm like, bitch, no, get in there, slide in the pussy, and, like, we can get this situation going, okay?
I just want to say I've heard about this today already. She texted me. And so now I'm finally happy to just know the name. Although I'm pretty sure you texted me the name of the book, but I was doing something else when you texted me.
Next, I'm going to read Hear Me Out by Lila Rose. It's the next one in the Hawks MC Caroline Springs Charter. I didn't say why I was reading Micah. So Living Without by Lila Rose, that one, it's got a couple of sections that are written by Maria Lisa de Mora. That kind of bring in a American MC, Metal Striker Club, and like, I was like, oh, like, she wrote these sections really well, maybe I'll like it, whatever. I'm not sure how I feel right now, because I don't know if it's Polly or not, because I'm only, like, 30% of the way through the book, because it's 600 pages. Okay.
Well, maybe if you were further than 30%, you'd find out maybe it does end up to be a Polly relationship.
It's fucking better. Okay. Hear Me Out by Lila Rose, the next book in Hawks MC Caroline Springs Charter. This one is the one that has the deaf guy, and this is MM. It's my favorite MM that I've ever read.
I keep forgetting that you've already read these, so I'm sitting here like, how do you know, like, all these details? And I'm like, oh wait, she's already read them before deaf.
Yes, these are all rereads for me. Next, I started Crooked Crows by Elena Lawson.
You're not allowed to read a book that I've been having on my TBR for the longest time that you didn't know about until I mentioned it to you before me. I can hate you. Is it at least worth the read since I haven't read the synopsis?
It's really good.
Since I have no idea what the fuck's in or what the fuck it's about, is it at least good, I guess?
It's really good. It's book one of the Boys of Briar Hall series. I also this week want to read Legend Born by Tracy Dion and The Witch of the Prophecy by Victoria Jane.
This is the fastest we've ever gotten through our current read section.
You're right.
But that's because we spent so long on the rest of the book.
Seriously, though.
Like 10 minutes in the beginning straight laughing.
I love it. The dysfunction I live for. Okay. If you guys want to see our book looks, talk to us, give us book recs, give us makeup recs, anything that you want to see a makeup look for, anything like that, go ahead and hit us up. Our TikTok is blues.library and Instagram is blues.library and blues.library podcast. Lexi, what book are we reading next week? Or what book are we doing next week?
So the book we are going to be starting, the series that we're going to be starting for next week is Of Flesh and Bone. And the book for book one is What Lies Beyond the Veil. And this is by Harper L. Woods. I have no idea what it's about. Ashley May. But we're just going to keep it the way it is. I don't know. Cover looked good, I guess. So
the cover looks weird, actually. But I've heard a lot of really good stuff. It's similar-ish to ACOTAR, where there is a veil between the Fae lands and the human lands. And like, in the first, like, couple chapters, the veil completely shatters. And
ooh, like the wall.
Yes. And it's, like, very... It's supposed to be very ACOTAR, but, like, also adult, so like, who knows?
Oh, some more sex.
Yeah. But that's all like kind of I know about it. I haven't started it yet, so this is brand new for both of us.
I really quickly, I just want to say, is either A, because I don't know what happens in Crescent City, but either A, in any more of the books that she writes about for ACOTAR, or in this book, since it's supposed to be kind of ACOTAR-ish, if somebody has wings and nobody fucks in the air, I'm going to be pissed. I want a sex scene in the air while they're flying.
That sounds like really hard mechanically.
I don't care. I want it.
Like, you have no leverage because you're in the air.
Not if it's a strong Illyrian and then his arms are like...
lifting you up and slamming you back down on the deck.
I just want a sex scene in the air while they're flying. That's all I'm asking for. Is it too much?
Yes! Because, like, mechanistically, this doesn't work.
Like, have somebody better figure it out.
Been
somebody...
reading a book and the, like, you're like, how is this happening? Like, how are they bending? I just read a book and the guy, like, he eats her out, whatever. She gets down on her knees and starts, like, blowing him, right? And then somehow he ends up, like, fingering her while she's, like, on her knees, but she's still sucking
him off. Dude, I read one of those, and that was, I was kind of, like, that one I could see, because I was, like, I don't understand how it's right here, but then how are you down there?
Yeah, I'm, like, are you, like, rotating?
I guess, I guess unless he's maybe on his side or something.
No, but he was standing, because she was on her knees.
Maybe he, like, has really long arms.
Gorilla arms? You want to fuck someone with gorilla arms? God damn!
Also, I just want to say really quickly, so I was trying to sell my doctor friend on the reverse harem, or on reverse harems, and I brought up Den of Vipers, and I told her, I said, there's a couple scenes you may not like as a doctor. One, he does fuck her with a gun. And she's like, okay, that's kind of weird. I'm like, that one's not the most problematic. And she goes, which one is? And I was like, well, he sticks the handle of the knife in her ass and then fucks her as it's stabbing him. And she just looked at me. She goes, I don't think that that's possible. Like, he's, and then she's like sitting there possible, trying to figure it out. I was like, okay, we're done with this.
That's hilarious. I love that so much.
Okay. I don't think she's gonna read Den of Vipers anytime soon, but she is reading ACOTAR, so there's that.
Oh my god. Everybody have a great week. We will see you guys next week. Be safe.
Bye.
Wear your seatbelt.
Oh. Safe sex. Don't do drugs.
Wear a condom.
Anyways, moving on.
Y'all have a great week.
Bye.